Time now for our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro, to join us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Does it feel like an end of an era kind of to you with Mickelson's done? I don't think he's a lock to qualify for the U.S. Open next year, and Tiger's just slashing it around Wingfoot. He might shoot 80 this afternoon.
Yeah, well, you know what? I played this morning, and so I picked up my phone about halfway through, and I'm like, oh, one over after six, not bad. Everybody was talking about how it was going to get harder, and then I got home, and I was like, yeesh. What happened there? And just watching him, I don't know, it felt like I was watching an older guy. You know, like I'm watching these younger guys play, and then I see Tiger, and I'm like, it's not like his ball speed's way down, or he can't hit this great shot or that great shot. I'm more surprised when it happens altogether for him, as opposed to before, you just look at it and go, yeah, he's 5 feet, he'll make that. Well, now it's like I'm more surprised when it goes in.
Right, exactly.
Is he a Lamborghini with 500,000 miles on it?
Yeah,
is
and
that
I think,
what
Jamie,
it is?
In that sport, it's not like what us three did playing in the NHL, getting our brains beat in every night. Those guys, I think it just fries your brain, like the 10-footers for par. There's a lot of stress in that, and that's what I think ultimately happens to golfers. It's not, you know, obviously injuries can take their toll on them, but I think just the mental grind of them, and they lose it, and they can't play anymore. Johnny Miller was one of the best golfers in the universe. He would say to his caddy, I want to know if it's 171 or 171 and a half yards to the hole. He had to start putting with his eyes closed. Like,
it's mental. Mental, man.
There was video of Johnny Miller at Pebble Beach, I believe. He was putting. He was closing his eyes because he lost it. He lost the mental edge, and that's what happens.
And that was the greatness of Tiger. Like, every time he played, he was like, I am crushing people. Like, crushing. And I am going to try to beat my personal best every round.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's got that anymore. He's just kind of like.
There was a 10-year span, and he won every time.
He looks like he's exhausted.
Yeah.
Like a lot of the times I watch him, I'm like, he looks just exhausted. And he probably is. But it's not that, like, he looks like he's in really great shape. But he's probably just, as you say, he's just gassed, man. Like every hole is like he's wrestling an alligator. And then
course. Especially at Wingfoot, Ray.
Did you just see that shot Patrick Reed hit over the green?
No.
The ball. So he had 200 yards from, like, kind of just off the fairway. His ball went through the green. It dropped into this stuff on the back of the green, like over the green was a little bit elevated, and it dropped into it. He wouldn't find his feet in there. Like, he's going to get to the ball, and just imagine how he's like if you're worn down by your round, like Tiger is. Say his ball's in there. He's just like, damn, I just got to get this out of here. Like, you can't even muster it up anymore. You're just beaten down.
Right. Well, exactly. And
and that's why he could win it at Augusta. You don't get beat down at Augusta.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows the place like the back of his hand.
And I think he'd need a crowd, though, too, right? Like, he would need the buzz.
He's missing that crowd a lot, man.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think he missed it yesterday. He had 3 birdies in a row. That place would have erupted. Like, gone crazy, and he would have been fist pumping, and like he birdied on 16, and he did a little knee shake, and was like, oh, okay, I guess moving on. That place would have gone crazy. It was like a 40-foot birdie to get him back to even par, you know, and it's not there.
A couple of months ago, I was with Dan Murphy, who was a good buddy of mine, and we played with Nick Taylor, and Nick was just getting set to go. To join the tour, 100th ranked player in the world. And so we were asking him, he qualified for the Masters. He beat Mickelson at Pebble Beach last year and said, what's it like, if you're with Tiger? And he says, well, I haven't played with him. He said, but you can tell where he is on the course at any time. And so it's just what you said. Like, there might be from a mile away, there might be this crazy roar, and everybody knows, that's Tiger making birdie over there.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It must be the coolest thing to see.
Yeah, and you hope we get – maybe last year was the last one. Maybe it was. You know, you hope you get one more. You hope you get one more charge. And it being at the Masters would be so much better. I mean, it just allows for the best theater and the best background and the best setting.
Hey, maybe we'll get it in November. Who knows?
Yeah, that's true. So. That's a good point. We're going to have two – like the next two majors after this are the Masters. Like it's November and April, I believe. I think they're going back into the cycle in April. So – the next two will be at the same tournament, same course. We've got our cup final, Dallas-Tampa. How do you feel about this setting up game one tomorrow?
No, wide open, lots of goals.
Hockey.
We were on that text message last night, and it was like, you know, as we're trying to put the highlight together, like that was starting to be a chore.
Yeah, I honestly thought it could have been just, like my recommendation to James, who runs the operation, was this is a 2-1 game. Let's just do a radio hit, basically, on TV and talk about the game-winning goal, what's up next, and blah, blah, blah. Because other than Hedman, other than the game-winning goal, other than some the goaltenders, a missed opportunity on the power play, you know, for Tampa Bay in the second period there, it's a grind and then a grind and a grind and a grind. And I think it's fatigue, man. It's the grind.
Yeah. Man, they're playing every second day. These guys... they must be just totally worn.
They're done. They're done. Yeah.
And O sent a text, and it was 1-1. Remember, they scored the two goals really quick. And he said, I got a bad feeling about this game. And that was in the first period. And he was right, because it got worse. It's just like they can't go anywhere. They can't. And so I would have never picked Dallas with a chance to win, but I think they've got a legit chance. I think they're healthier. They're certainly more rested. And I think they've got a legit chance that I would have never given them before.
Yeah, I agree with you, Ray. My only worry is Hudobin Cinderella. Is the clock going to strike midnight? And you know, he's a very good goaltender. But at some point, Vegas doesn't have the high-octane finishers like Tampa does. And if Dallas thinks they're going to rope-a-dope and give up 40 and just be opportunistic, you can't rely on the goaltender every night. That's what worries me, is that Hudobin...
But for Tampa, though, Jamie, Tampa's got six guys that they haven't scored. They don't score.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right.
And so what if they can't get it back? If they don't get something from... Point and Kucherov and Hedman, who's going to score for Tampa?
Hope Stamkos comes back?
Me too. Like, I was going to say, this is the Stanley Cup Finals. I think I would figure out a way.
What do you think's going on with him?
I think it's like some kind of upper, you know, those stomach joints.
Remember, have you guys ever had that ab injury or whatever, where guys get the mesh put in?
You think I would ever have that injury? Ask yourself that question.
They ripped out a chunk of chain-link fence for O.
when you played, O, you were lean, and you...
a little tweak here and there, but I never had
that. What is
that
called, a hernia?
Sports hernia is very central in the body, I believe.
Right, it's core. Yeah,
it's a core muscle injury. I wouldn't be surprised. We don't know. They haven't said anything. They haven't ruled him out completely, but I think Breezeball, the GM, said today he's not going to play in game one.
Right.
I hope for his sake. I mean, he's the longest standing member of the team. He's the captain. You know, he seems like a really good guy that, you know, obviously plays a fun, entertaining style. He's had injury problems his whole career. And it's almost as if they win the cup without him, the injuries are going to become the story of his career, you know, more so than the greatness on the ice and the Rocket Richards and scoring 60 and first overall and all that kind of stuff. Because
it does set up, though, for him coming back in this series and scoring a couple of big ones.
Yep.
Yeah, it does.
It really does. And maybe maybe he's only got a few games in the tank, right, health-wise this year. Like, maybe that's all he's got. Maybe had he been trying to play this – you know, grinder of a playoff, he wouldn't have made it. You know, health-wise.
11 forwards, couldn't you say to him, look, give me some secondary power play time, maybe a couple shifts a period on the fourth line, Who knows? Who knows what he could do or what he would want to do?
Depends on what the injury is, because if he can't get up and down the ice, like you can wheel him out there like Hannibal Lecter and stand him on the one-timer spot, and he could still hammer it in the net. But if he can't skate, like that's – I don't know. He skated yesterday. Did you guys – I thought there was video of him
skating.
So you're right.
He was
skating
last week.
I'd like to see it just so that – you know, to your point, Brian, we don't talk about this guy's hurt all the time, and he missed the biggest moment of the team.
He's
that
missed
he
a lot. Like, he missed an Olympics because he was injured.
Yeah, you know what? His career turned, unfortunately, health-wise, when he hit the goalpost in Boston.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Because I don't recall him being nicked a lot by injury beforehand, and it seemed like after that, you know, it was just one serious thing after another for him.
Yeah, and like real, like deeply rooted injuries, not just, yeah. Hey, missed a game every 10 or 12. Like, yeah. We'll see in 3 months, Stammer. And he has become one of the most injury-prone players in the NHL. And it's a shame because he's such a good player. And they could certainly use him, and I think the entertainment value could certainly use him as well. But if you're the 29 other teams in the league, what are you learning from these two teams as you go into an offseason and you try to build a cup contender for next season?
Well, you better be able to defend. You better have some strength, you know, some size. And of course you need, like that, you're going to need some skill. But to me, it's like the story is you have to defend. And honestly, I hate even saying that, because I don't want to sound like part of the sheep crowd of, defend, you got to win, defense wins championships. Until somebody proves otherwise, that's what wins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so, – go ahead, Ray.
Go ahead, Jamie. Sorry.
Oh, I was just saying, I was going to climb on top of that and say, I think you also need goaltending, but you also need veteran depth. Like that's – Tampa went and they spent, and went and got Coleman and got Goudreau and then signed Bogosian and got Shen. Like, Shattenkirk came on. Like, to me, these
Maroon.
Are guys that are, Maroon. They're well-traveled, but they're slotted properly on a team that already has a really deep core. But what they did is they filled the core out with guys that know their role and know how to play hard in certain situations. And that's the difference that I've seen. And all of these teams that are close should be looking at plugging holes with guys that fit and guys that will be there when the push comes to shove. Because it wouldn't surprise me if the game-winning goal for Tampa is going to be a Maroon or a Goudreau or a Coleman or somebody like that. The big boys will get you there, but it's the grunts that are going to help you through it.
Maybe there's another point to that too, and that's when I look at Tampa, I remember doing a game early in the year. They were playing Toronto, and I started doing my stuff and my research, whatever. And the organization, the way they have put that organization together, the way they've drafted, the way they've scouted free agents, the way that they've built their core, a lot of it is really all homegrown. And so, you can go add pieces all over the place, but with the cap being the way it is for the next few years, you better be able to find guys in the draft, not just your first round pick, but past that. And, we've been through this, I think, before, but, Johnson and Gord were not drafted. Kucherov's a second rounder, Point's a third, Sorelli's a fourth, Palat's a seventh, Killorn's a fourth. Of course, Hedman and Stamkos were at the very, very top of the draft. Vasilevsky's a first. Sergachev's a first. They traded him for Drouin, who was another first. But, they've got guys from all over the place, that are the meat of their team, and they drafted them all. Or they signed them all. Like, their scouts found Gord and found Johnson. Other guys could have signed them. Other guys had Johnson in camp. He was in Phoenix's camp at the time. They're now Arizona. He was in Minnesota's camp. Nobody signed him. Tampa signed him.
Well, yeah, a lot of guys that have been there for a long time too, right? I mean, there's always going to be turnover on the peripheral, and we've referenced who those guys are. But Stamkos, Hedman, Johnson, Gord. You know, these guys have been there for a long time.
Well, some of them were like you said, Ray, they were developed by Tampa, but they came up with Coop, too. Like, mm-hmm. Coop yeah. won a championship in the minors. Didn't they set a crazy record in the minors for
wins?
Yeah, I
believe so, yeah.
Yeah, like, you know dominant. What? And that team, guys, if I might have the number wrong, but I think at times they were playing with 9 defensemen. They had no forwards. And they were just like, you know, like, yeah, you're a winger today. Right? And they kept winning. But there is an interesting thought there when you said about them being together a long time, is that the balance of being patient or like, okay, I got to cut bait. And so that, right. I think, is maybe a little bit applicable in Toronto. Like, how patient can you be versus where you've got to change? And in Tampa, they just, man, remember 5 years ago, they were the team of the future. They were going to win a couple of cups, and it's 5 years since 2015. Right? And a lot has gone wrong, but they haven't grenaded the whole thing yet.
Yeah, you've got to commit to your vision in your core, and you got to realize that you're not going to win every single year, so that doesn't mean that it's just a complete and utter disaster. Right? But sometimes it is. You know, that's the thing that can really trip you up. Sometimes you can be overly patient, and then it takes too long, and you realize this was never right. We were never on the right path. You know, Tampa made it easy, I think, for Yzerman, Breezeball, and company to realize they were on the right path because they made a cup final in 15. Right? Like, the Leafs have never gotten out of the first round. It's more difficult to have full faith when you haven't seen any of it really blossom.
Right.
You know, individually you have, but the core has not gotten to that next step where you're like, okay, I can fully commit. You know, so we'll see. But I do think that's an important lesson to take from this as well.
Yeah. And Brian, were you going to the tape with Ray? I thought Ray was going to be involved in this.
I guess Ray could be a jury member here, too. Yeah, I guess.
What do we got?
Go ahead, Hayes.
Yeah.
No. You're the one that's well, I guess I'm bringing it to the courts because you right. were so certain that this was locked in. But this fellow gentleman in the courtroom here that goes
you
by
can't handle the
O dog.
You can't handle the truth.
Well, just give me some time and I'll turn on you, just like that's what happened in A Few Good Men. O just throws out, I'll put a hunch on it, and that in his mind means it's a bet, like it's done. Like I said earlier, you could just say, the sun's coming up tomorrow, hunch. I have to agree to it, exactly. And sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Like, we had a bet earlier in the week. He said, I'll bet you 2-1 odds the Clippers beat Denver. I hummed and hawed and thought about it, and then I finally said, yeah, okay, fine, I'll take it.
Yeah, 494 on the TV, TSN, you know what's on that? The U.S. Open. 493 is the no balls open, and you're 30 under.
Let's go to the tape, all right? Because you ruined yourself here on this. If you locked it in, if you were committed and you wanted this to be a done bet, you would not have gone baby monkey and started chasing a moth around the light and moved this in a different direction, all right? Listen to the tape from yesterday.
I would bet any money that he plays.
Ooh.
Do I have?
My ears are burning.
I was just going to say that Sir Brian Hayes is... Yeah.
I'll bet you $100 he plays. Take it or leave it.
You take that action. You've got two brown ones burning a hole in your pocket there.
Oh, he gave 50 back because he's a chop.
Yeah, I went Tiger down the stretch yesterday. See, we never committed to anything. We just started talking about golf.
You cut it early.
Yeah.
What's the answer?
Now, you guys know how much I do not want to ever side with Hayes.
Thank you. Go
it
ahead.
It bothers me to select Hayes' version of the story here.
Yep. There you go.
Yeah, well, I'm going to get Marshall Clark on the case.
Even though he wanted to take it.
Tape.
Don't you think, even if he wanted to take it. He was like, what do you know, He wanted to take it.
Yep. You're right.
I know you did.
You're right.
Like I said, Ray, if you're watching the golf, go
no, see, you can keep saying that, dude, but that doesn't mean anything.
It's a tournament called
the No
Balls
Open. You can yell objection, but guess what? Your client's going to jail for the rest of their lives. Just because you yell objection doesn't mean anything. Your case is brutal. Noodles, go ahead. Speak for yourself, because you were certain I locked it in, too. You were very accusatory earlier.
I was, and here's the thing, though. I think we're looking at one piece of the tape. I think there's another conversation about this.
Please tell me you have it.
I think 10 minutes later, there's like a full conversation going, I think that was the beginning of the conversation, but I think
Hayes
there was
like
one
OJ
where,
right now, trying
where
to
we locked
the
it
glove
in.
On.
Yeah, there's the glove.
Yeah,
I think there's another conversation. I'll be honest. I don't know.
Hayes,
but I
think I misremember.
I'm not doctoring anything, right?
You misremember.
You're Rafael Palmeiro right now.
Yeah,
you
I misremember.
You misremember.
No comment. Listen, yeah, talk to Mullen. Mullen runs the audio around here. The grappler, I don't know what the grappler's doing, but... All right, we'll dig deeper into the tape, but as it currently stands, the evidence you just saw and just
Mulls,
heard,
you're
what's
back
the
there.
Answer?
Help me, Mulls.
What's the answer? Ray just gave it to you. Noodles, do you agree with my case or what?
Oh,
Based on that,
I agree there's no deal in place, but I believe there is further evidence to be
Mulls,
submitted.
Find it. Find it.
I can easily change my opinion if there's more audio.
Oh, if it's a coin flip, I'm going to jail. I know how you're going to work. You're the last jury member on earth I would pick. Imagine that. My life's on the line. I'm like, don't let Ray be on the jury. That's my buddy, but I know what he's going to do.
No,
he's going to send me away.
He would flat out say, Sidney Crosby's better than Phil Kessel. You're going to the chair.
You're
right.
That's
going
it.
To the chair, big boy.
Exactly. Just start yelling and screaming at each other. You both get kicked out of the courtroom. Yeah. Well, we'll see. If we can find more, we'll replay it on Monday and later this afternoon for sure. But when you're back on Monday, we'll let you know. And it looks like it's going to be a Tigerless weekend, a Mickelsonless weekend, but a fun weekend nonetheless. And the Cup Final
now
starts
tomorrow.
We'll
be plugged in. And don't forget to send out the 100 that you owe for the bet that you lost, eh? Don't forget.
I know. I already paid up. I'm all paid.
No, you didn't.
I have not.
Ray and Noodles. Ray and Noodles, you owe a hunch from way back. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Jeepers creepers.
Oh, my goodness.
Jerry Player.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, Ray, we'll leave it there.
Yeah.
Have a good weekend, boys. Later.
There's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. It is Maple Toyota's birthday, and they're giving you the gifts this month. Buy any new vehicle and receive a free gift. Red tag savings continue with rates from 0%.